Our study tonight is out of Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, handling potential harmful entrapment by benignly doing God's will. A difficult situation a believer in oversight can face is the threat of potential harmful entrapment. God had Nehemiah lead Israel in the rebuilding of the Jerusalem city wall, though he faced this kind of a trial, and his response to it in Nehemiah chapter 6, 1 to 4, provides an invaluable lesson on handling it. I never cease to be amazed at the timing of the Lord as we go through his word on a regular basis, how he many times he matches what we find in his word with what we experience in life. And this is such a time. Let me read the passage and we'll look at it. Nehemiah chapter 6, 1 to 4. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm or mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? And they sent unto me four times after this manner. And I answered them after the same manner. Okay, we have to do a little bit of research to find out what the world's going on, but this is intrigue. When Israel's and Nehemiah's past foes to the Jerusalem city wall rebuilding project learned that there was no longer any breach in the wall to where Israel enjoyed some degree of military defense, two of their foes, by the name of Sanballat and Geshem would be the Arabian, they approached Nehemiah with an outwardly friendly proposal. They sent Nehemiah word asking him to meet with them in a village in the plain of Ono. It sounds like, on the surface, like they want to make a truce. You know, okay, you're proceeding with the wall, you're making advance, you have some degree of defense for the nation. Okay, well, let's just, you know, come and be friends and, you know, pat each other on the back and have a big powwow and we'll go our separate ways and be happy, happy family. Well, Nehemiah knew that this offer was a potential harmful trap that meant that he had to be very careful how he responded, and that for the following reasons. First, Sanballat and Geshem had previously ardently opposed the wall rebuilding project, even to the point of threatening to attack and kill Nehemiah and his men. If you go back to chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, you'll notice that it came to pass that when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabians, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up or being filled up, and that the breaches again began to be stopped, they were very angry and conspired, all of them, together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. So they really had a bad record. And notice verse 11, and our adversary said, They will not know, neither see, till we come in the midst of them and slay them and cause the work to cease. So these are fellows who, when they had started building the wall, they wanted to come and kill them. And now all of a sudden, they want to make peace. Now Nehemiah says, oh yeah, right, they want to make peace. Oh, this is fun. He didn't believe them for a second. Second, the plain of Ono was located in the lowlands down near the Mediterranean Sea, near Joppa, about 30 miles west-northwest of Jerusalem. This is like saying, say we're trying to build the walls here around our little property here, the church, and someone says, I want to see you in East Hartford. And I'm going to say, yeah, why do you, East Hartford, well, why don't you, you know, have a meeting outside of the parking lot or something? How come, you know, 30 miles away? What in the world is going on here? So it seemed unreasonable for Nehemiah to meet with these men so far from Jerusalem unless they planned one of two very possible evil actions. First of all, either they wanted to draw Nehemiah away from the workers on the wall so they could assassinate him, and of course, that would end the work in the wall at the loss of its leader. Or they planned to move Nehemiah so far from Jerusalem that when they attacked the wall, the Hebrews without access to him as their effective leader would be less able to defend themselves, and Israel's foes could slay the workers and end the reconstruction of the wall. However, here's the catch. If Nehemiah had responded to their proposal by publicly critiquing the motives of Sanballat and Geshem, that would give these foes an occasion to discredit Nehemiah before his peers because he would sound like he was warlike. And that could harm his credibility as Israel's leader and effectively sabotage the work on the wall. See, if he responded and say, No, you guys have no good in mind. You're out to kill me. And they'll say, Wait a minute. We're offering peace. Hey, everybody, did you hear him? He wants a fight. He's the one that's the headache. Now, Nehemiah could see right through this. He knew that they were trying to corner him. So how do you handle this? This is intrigue. You can't answer one way or another. You can kind of get into trouble. Well, Nehemiah avoided potential entrapment by benignly or by harmlessly voicing his need to keep at God's work. Nehemiah sent messengers back to Sanballat and Geshem with the benign, that means the harmless, but the true claim that he was busy doing a great work on the wall and he could not go off to the distant plain of Ono. Verse 3, and I sent messengers unto them saying, I'm doing a great work, which he was, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? I can't say enough in favor of this. It's amazing how many times the Lord saves us from all sorts of problems if we just focus on doing what we know he wants us to do. Because when we focus on doing what he wants us to do, it keeps us out of all sorts of trouble over here. Because if we're busy doing the work of God and the will of God, we've got all sorts of spiritual protection. But once we get away and we kind of go off and do our own thing, we're fair game for the evil one. And we're fair game for those who would want to entrap us in doing that, which is wrong. So he did a beautiful thing. I'm doing a great work. I'm too busy serving the Lord. I can't do that. This is what God wants me to do. It's amazing. This is a wise move for Nehemiah on two other reasons. First of all, it kept his foes from entrapping him, number one. And then two, it opened the door for Sanballat and Geshem to show by their response their true motives. If they were honestly wanting to make peace with Nehemiah, they would have been willing to meet with him much closer to Jerusalem. So Nehemiah gave them an opportunity to change the meeting location so that they could demonstrate that their peace proposal was a genuine one. So if he said, I'm too busy, I can't, why should I go 30 miles away? I'm too busy here. They could have said, if they really wanted to make peace, okay, we're going to meet you just outside the wall. And that would be more reasonable because he could protect himself and so forth, and he could continue on with the work and maybe talk with them if they wanted to meet with him right within the wall. Maybe a couple of those guys come in and so forth. So it was a test. So sometimes just answering a person in a benign way, seeing what they do in their response, tells a lot about the person, where their motive is, where they're coming from. So sometimes you just kind of play along with the person. You play out the rope, let them go. And if they want to hang themselves, you can give them. They can hang themselves. Otherwise, they can clear it up. So that's what he did. However, Sanballat and Geshem continued to send Nehemiah messengers asking that he meet them on the distant plain of Ono. Notice verse 4. Yet they sent it to me four times after this manner. In other words, they never did change the location. We want to meet you in Ono. We want to meet you in East Hartford. We want to meet you in East Hartford, kind of a thing. And each time they did that, Nehemiah says, yeah, these guys are up to no good. They're just trying to sucker me away. They think I'm a fool. And so what he did, though, he knew that the answer that he gave him could be made public back to his own people. So he kept saying, I'm doing a great work. Why should I leave this work? He gave an answer that if it was played on the loudspeaker all over the countryside, he wouldn't mind anybody hearing it. Sometimes there are people that way. When you answer them, you have to pretend that your answer is going to be broadcast in front of the whole church or the whole group of people that are involved. And you just have to answer that way because probably that's what's going to happen. And that's what Nehemiah did. He left himself. He protected himself every which way. So Nehemiah's answer, even if it were made public, would uphold his credibility before all because it was a benign, it was a credible answer that his enemies could not use to harm either him or his work. So the lesson is by responding to potential harmful entrapment efforts through benignly or harmlessly focusing on God's assignment for him, Nehemiah kept his foes from taking harmful advantage of him. So in application, may we stay focused on doing God's assignment as even a protective measure against harmful intrigue and potential harmful entrapment by spiritual foes. When I was a child growing up in the mission field many years ago, my mother was involved in a situation. She got into a discussion with another missionary lady, and this missionary lady made a very disparaging remark, apparently about my father, something that he wasn't that effective as a missionary and all that. And my mom was really crushed by it. And I knew something was wrong because when we ate at the lunch meal that day, mom was fighting back tears and dad kept patting her on the arm and everything. And I figured, something's going on. I don't know what it is. It wasn't between mom and dad, but it was something else that had happened. And a couple of weeks later, my mom shared with me what had happened. This person had made this remark, and it was one of those remarks that really cut. You know, it's the kind that you can't sleep at night for a couple of days. But she said in the midst of this, the Lord did something very remarkable. She got into reading her scripture, and the Lord indicated, what's your job? Get back to your job. Your job is keeping house. I brought you out here with your husband and your children and so forth. You're doing a work here. Your job is to keep the house, get the cooking done, do the ironing. No, that's your calling. So busy yourself with my will. And so she did, and she felt a lot better just busying herself with the Lord's will. And the Lord took care of that situation. What's remarkable is that just before my father's retirement, this lady's husband actually publicly honored my father in front of a group of other missionaries because of his work. So the Lord turned the tables on that whole situation. But I learned from that, and I have since have had to apply this principle a number of times. Sometimes you get into situations where there are entrapment situations. It may be that Satan is the one that's trying to entrap you, or there may be a person, another person is trying to entrap you. Or you get into a situation where you can entrap yourself if you're not careful. The best thing to do is just to focus on the will of God. What is the will of God? And busy yourself with it, because when you do that, there is a tremendous protection that God provides in the midst of that. And you're guarded and you're helped in the midst of it. I've had to apply something like this even recently, wanting to know how to deal with a certain situation. I thought, you know, the best thing to do is just to be benign, harmless, and just function in a way that allows other parties or party and so forth involved to respond in a way that I can understand where they're coming from. And sure enough, you know, it was a telltale thing, and it was helpful for the Lord. So this is something that we need to do. And I'm so grateful for the fact that God took this wonderful man who was he was like a secretary of state, a cupbearer to the king, very intelligent, very gifted, very excellent leader, and put him in this difficult situation where even the people who were under him were unusually hapless and weak. And he gave us this tremendous example of how to function. So he was very thoughtful. He was second-guessing the motives of other people, but he operated in a way that was benign so that it created blessing. And may God help us to do the same thing.